Let's confess our faith this afternoon concerning what the Bible teaches about being sure of our election. How can we be sure that God has chosen us for salvation? And you'll find that confession of faith in the Canons of Dort, page 899 in the back of your Psalter hymnals, the first point of doctrine, articles 12, 13, and 14. Page 899 in the back of the Trinity Psalter hymnal. This also is our worship to say to God, echo to God what the Bible teaches, confessing our faith together. So article 12 then, the assurance of election, assurance of this, their eternal and unchangeable election to salvation, is given to the chosen in due time, though by various stages and in different measure. Such assurance comes not by inquisitive searching into the hidden and deep things of God, but by noticing within themselves with spiritual joy and holy delight the unmistakable fruits of election pointed out in God's word, such as a true faith in Christ, a childlike fear of God, a godly sorrow for their sins, a hunger and thirst for righteousness, and so on. Article 13, the fruit of this assurance. In their awareness and assurance of this election, God's children daily find greater cause to humble themselves before God, to adore the fathomless depth of His mercies, to cleanse themselves, and to give fervent love in return to Him who first so greatly loved them. This is far from saying that this teaching concerning election and reflection upon it make God's children lax in observing His commandments or carnally self-assured. By God's just judgment, this does usually happen to those who casually take for granted the grace of election or engage in idle and brazen talk about it, but are unwilling to walk in the ways of the chosen. Teaching election properly, just as by God's wise plan, this teaching concerning divine election has been proclaimed through the prophets, Christ Himself and the apostles in the Old and New Testament times, and has subsequently been committed to writing in the Holy Scriptures, so also today in God's church, for which it was specifically intended, this teaching must be set forth with a spirit of discretion, in a godly and holy manner, at the appropriate time and place, without inquisitive searching into the ways of the Most High. This must be done for the glory of God's most holy name and for the lively comfort of His people. Then let's turn in God's word to 2 Peter 1, page 1893 in your pew Bibles, 1893. 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail or never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless this word to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we know from the Bible that we're saved not because we chose Christ first, but because God chose us before the creation of the world and set His life on us, or His love on us, predestined us to salvation. And in time, he worked that faith in us so we would choose Christ. But he chose us first, and his choice is the cause of our choice of him. Our salvation all comes from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, from beginning to end. But are you one of them? Are you one of the chosen ones? Did God choose you for salvation, or did he leave you behind? Can you be sure that you're one of God's elect? And if you can be sure, how can you be sure? How can you know for sure God has chosen you and you're in the book of life? Your name is there. And if you do become sure, what will that do to your life? Is it even healthy to be sure? Maybe being sure would just make you careless and take you off your spiritual game. Or maybe it'll help you be a stronger Christian, and it's a good thing. Can you be sure that you're one of God's elect? This is the question discussed at the great International Synod of Dort in 1618, 1619, that international synod covering Europe and the British Isles. An important question, talked about in Holy Scripture, and therefore we should talk about it. Can you be sure of your election? Let's first discuss knowing you're one of God's elect. What does the Bible say about that? Secondly, handling doubts about election. What if you doubt that you're one of God's elect? What should you do about that? We want to look at some practical suggestions of what you might do about that. And thirdly, we're called to find comfort in the doctrine of election, not to dismiss it as an unimportant doctrine or something to be left alone. Can you be sure of your election? Knowing that you're one of God's elect. Let's start off on the right foot here. It's good to be sure that you're one of God's chosen people. It's important to be sure that you're one of those sinners on whom God set his love before you were born, before the world was created. In love, he predestined you for salvation. It's good to know for sure that before the world was created, Jesus Christ, the Son, set his love on you and agreed with the Father that he would come to earth in time and die for you, pay for your sins, and save you by his blood. It's good to be sure. And it's good to know that before the worlds were created, the Holy Spirit set his love on you personally, had your name in his mind, and agreed with the Father and the Son that he would go and enter your life and open your heart to believe in Jesus, that you might become a child of God and preserve you all the way to the end. It's good to know for sure that you're one of God's chosen ones. Peter says that, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Don't let it just sit there and wonder about it the rest of your life and not deal with it. Make your calling and election sure, Hebrews says. Hebrews 6 verse 11, we desire each of you to be earnest about having the full assurance of hope to the end. Be earnest about having full assurance of hope all the way to the end. Be earnest about that. Assurance is a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's something to be desired and eagerly pursued, beloved. We want to be able to say with Paul, Romans 8, I am persuaded, I am convinced that nothing can separate me from God's love in Christ Jesus. We want to say with Paul in 2 Timothy 1, I want to know whom I have believed and be persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. But how can you become assured? How do you get to know for sure that you are one of God's elect? I want to see three things here under this first point. First, assurance is not automatic. It's not true. Some teach this, but it's not true. It's not true that all believers instantly have full assurance that they're God's elect when they first believe. It's not true that all believers instantly have full assurance that they're God's elect when they first believe. No, it's something of a process. Make your calling and election sure, says Peter. It's a process, a growing conviction given to us by the Holy Spirit as we see the seed of fruit or seed of faith growing fruit in our lives. And we look at the scriptures and see that the fruit of the elect talked about in God's word are growing in me. Then I conclude, by the power of the Spirit, I must be one of the elect. Look, God's fruit is growing in me, the fruit of faith. That didn't come from the devil. That didn't come from myself. That must have come from God. It's a process. It's a growing conviction given us by the Holy Spirit. As we work our salvation out with fear and trembling, or as Peter says it here, as you make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. As you work to see this grow in your life so that your faith is not ineffective and unproductive, then you are making your calling and election sure. It's a process. When we see faith bear fruit in our lives. But the second thing we see about knowing that we're one of God's elect, it's a process, it's not automatic. That it's gained by seeing in your life the unmistakable fruits of election pointed out in God's Word. Let's look at that more specifically. As you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and all that means, it's the same things Peter's talking about. As you see faith growing fruit in your life, the fruits listed in 2 Peter 1. That word add to your faith is not that you have faith and then you put layers on top of it. But the word add is actually developing your faith. As you make every effort to see your faith grow, to see your faith expand and deepen and widen with all these gifts, all these graces listed in 2 Peter 1, goodness and knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, reaching out to others in brotherly kindness and love. As you see your faith grow up like this, the Holy Spirit convinces you you don't have an empty faith or a fake faith or a pretend faith. But you have a faith that's bearing good fruit. Fruit that the Bible says grows on His chosen ones. I've chosen you, said God, the Lord Jesus, to His disciples, that you might bear much fruit. The fruit of faith, the canons say, first. Because that's the first evidence that you're elect, when you believe in Jesus. When you believe in Jesus Christ and rest in Him for your salvation, you did that because God chose you to do that. Remember Acts 13:48, the pagans in Pisidian Antioch, they heard the gospel. And it says, all who were appointed to eternal life believed. They believed because God elected them to it. And when you see yourself believe, resting in Jesus, giving up on yourself, my dear brother, my dear sister, you have an unmistakable fruit of election. Only the elect do that. And when you see yourself moved by childlike fear of God, means stand in awe of His goodness and His greatness. Psalm 130. If you, O Lord, should keep a record of sin, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness that you may be feared. When you see that awe, God's forgiving love, you know you're one of the children of God. You know God has elected you. When you see sorrow and grief over your sins, that doesn't come from the devil. That doesn't come from yourself. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to convict the world of sin. And when you see your own sin and your wretchedness and how you've offended God, and when you're bothered by that, and when you hate that, and you flee to Jesus for salvation, that's a sure mark, an unmistakable mark of one of God's elect. Do you hate your sin? Even the sins that you keep doing. Do you hate them? Are you running to Jesus for forgiveness for them and for help from them? It's not the children of the devil that do that. It's the children of God. And when you see yourself hungering and thirsting for righteousness, that thirst was not created from you. It was created by God. He put that in you. The Holy Spirit planted that. He's made you the object of His love, of His choice. And if you're not elect, you wouldn't love the Word. Do you love? Do you love the Word of God? Is it sweetness to your taste? Paul says that to the Thessalonians. We know that God has chosen you, has elected you, he says. Because when our gospel came to you, it came not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and full conviction. We knew you were elect. When we saw the way you gladly received the Word, grabbed onto it and said, I want more of that. This is true. This is just what I need. This is the answer to my life. This is light in my darkness. And the canons of Dort say, and there are many others, and so on. other unmistakable fruits, like desiring to see the salvation of the lost. That's a mark of election. Loving one another. Humility. You no longer boast in yourself. You boast in the Lord. And you lay yourself down for His glory. Well, these are the marks of election. They come from God's working. They show, they prove to you in the Spirit's power, because the Spirit is the one who builds this conviction of assurance in your life. That's what the Bible says too, that in Romans 8, it's the Spirit who testifies with our inner spirits that we're the children of God. And the way He testifies to us is as we study the Scriptures to see whether these fruits of faith are living in us. As we make our calling and election sure, He's the one that's testifying in your heart, talking to you internally. You're a child of God. Not by a special message given to you from heaven, a text message sent by God one morning, the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. You are one of God's elect. That's not the way it works. But as you compare your life with what the Bible describes a true Christian to be, He convinces you. And that's the third thing we must see about knowing you're one of God's elect. It's not through mystical means, or as the canons say, by inquisitive searching into the hidden and deep things of God. Some say, if only I could look into God's book of life in heaven, where He has His election list written, if only I could see my name written there, then I would know for sure. No, it's not by trying to jump into heaven to look at the things that are known only to God. It's by jumping into the Scriptures and seeing what God says there about His elect that the Holy Spirit convinces you. That's the right method. You shouldn't try to get a peek into the things that are hidden from us, but stick with what's revealed. R.C. Sproul put it this way: assurance is not a matter of speculation, but revelation. We're not to look for a sign from God that He elected us, but are to look into His Word. Can you be sure of your election? Yes. You can know you're one of God's elect, and you can know for sure. Over time, in various degrees, not all discover their assurance in exactly the same pathway. We've got to be careful not to condemn people for not being assured, but let it grow gradually. At the same time, we should be careful not to say, well, he's so assured, it can't be real, I'm suspicious. But press people to make their calling and election sure. It's a good thing to be sure. Seek it from the Lord. Look to the Scriptures. Don't just assume that you're one of God's chosen, but be assured through the study of God's Word. Well, let's see, secondly, how do we handle doubts about our election? Maybe some of you are convinced that you're not one of God's elect. Or maybe you're just unsure because of things going on in your life that you're not one of God's elect. You look at the fruits talked about in Scripture. You see some of them in your life, but not all of them. You see them in your life, but you're not sure how real they are, because you see how sin still lives in you, and how sin even excites you and delights you at times. And sometimes you even prefer sin to God. In fact, you might see yourself committing sin so much that you become convinced the other way you must be non-elect, because of how often you commit the same sins over and over again. And you say to yourself, I can tell by the lack of good fruit in my life that obviously God has not chosen me. And if He's not chosen me, since it happened from all eternity, there's no way I can get onto that list. It's over. It's over. Well, dear friend, let me offer three lines of counsel to you. First, the Bible says, don't look to election for your salvation. The Bible does not tell you to look to election for your salvation. Election can't save you. It's the source, but it's not the thing that saves you or the person who saves you. It's Jesus. Don't look to election for your salvation, but look to Christ. God never says, if you're elect, I will save you. No, he says, if you believe in Jesus, I will save you. It's not election that gives you the right to believe and be saved. Christ gives you that right. In fact, he commands you to believe. It's not election that is your warrant for coming to Christ. Christ's command is your warrant. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He commands you to come to him, whoever you are, however sinful you are, however much you think you must be one of the non-elect. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Jesus turns away nobody who comes to him. So if you're burdened by your sins today, don't run there. Oh, I must not be one of God's elect. Go the other way. If you're burdened by your sins, see that you need Christ. And come to him, and everyone who comes to him will be saved. He'll save you. He'll cleanse you. He'll give you new life. So make your calling and election sure today, if you doubt, by coming to Christ. Second, remember that election is unconditional. Your sin cannot disqualify you from the grace of election, because your election does not depend on how good you do or how bad you do. It's unconditional. It's for sinners only. God did not choose us because of anything good he saw we would do in the future, nor did he decide not to choose us because of our sin he saw we would do. There's no sin that can exclude you from being one of God's elect, because he chose sinners holy by his love, not by their good deeds, by his own good pleasure and will, not by their faith, to the praise of his glorious grace, apart from anything good or bad in us. So, he chose you not because of anything good in you, nor did he not choose you because of anything bad in you. If election is unconditional, no sin can make you ineligible for it, okay? If election is unconditional, no sin can make you ineligible for election. So I urge you to think this way about God. He chose to save sinners freely by his love and own good pleasure. And so there's no reason for me to exclude myself from that number because of my sin. It's for sinners only. And I must not use my past or my present sins to decide it can't be for me. The thief on the cross didn't reason like this. Look, I'm a thief. I'm dying. And I'll be in hell for a few minutes. It's clear to me I can't possibly be one of God's chosen ones since I'm in this condition. He didn't reason that way. He said, I'm a sinner. Jesus is righteous. I need him. I will come to him as a sinner and plead for mercy. And he did. And he was saved. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. So sin, no sin can disqualify you from the grace of election. And for that reason, don't conclude that your sin must mean you're not elect. Conclude from your sin that Christ is for you, and that God elects such people as you. And the third line of reasoning, the Bible makes it clear that God calls everyone everywhere to repent. He delights in mercy. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, says Ezekiel. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back, he says. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Now that God does not give everyone the desire to come to him and be saved, that's up to him. But whatever your state or condition today, I want you to know that God is more willing to receive you than you are willing to come to him. And he wants you to come. And he calls you to come. And if you press, says Peter, 2 Peter 1, if you press toward him in faith, he'll give you a rich welcome into his kingdom. If you truly want to be saved, you can be and will be. Isn't that beautiful? The gospel is clean yourself up, then go to God and he'll accept you. It's not the gospel. The gospel is go to God as you are, messed up and dirty, and He'll save you and clean you up. Believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is for you. Trust His promise that whoever comes will be forgiven and saved. That's for you. Come home to the Father, and He'll rejoice over you in His love. Never think that election means that God is stingy with His mercy and says, I'm not interested in him. I'm not interested in her. He is interested in you. He made you. He would love you to come and be saved. Leave the cleaning up to him. He'll do that. Just come to him as you are. Lost, miserable, wretched, unworthy. He'll accept you. He'll forgive you. He'll fill you with his spirit. And we see thirdly, that this doctrine of election is so important because of the comfort that it gives to God's people. Some shy away from the doctrine of election, even if it's true, they say, that God chose us for salvation in Jesus Christ before the creation of the world. Even if that's true, this doctrine is so full of puzzles and complexities. Let's not talk about it. Just talk about Jesus, what he's done for us. What he's still doing for us. What he will yet do for us. Well, our answer is, as Article 14 says so well, the Bible teaches it, so must we. And when the Bible teaches something, it's for a good reason that it teaches it, because somehow it serves our comfort and God's glory. And that's the reason. It is to be preached and taught that your salvation, congregation, lies in God's choice and God's hand from beginning to end. Is absolutely overwhelming and makes it absolutely certain, because he will not let go of those who are in his hand. And that gives us certainty and assurance. And being assured that you're one of God's elect is a good thing. It's a healthy thing. Jacob Arminius and his followers taught, no, assurance is a bad thing. If you're sure you're elect, that'll just make you lazy and careless. I can live as I please. I'm going to heaven anyway. You won't try so hard anymore then. Wait. Really, what gives you more incentive to go to work? When you're working in a business that's failing? Or when you're working in a business you know is going to succeed? What gives you more incentive? What gives you more incentive to live happily and joyfully and humbly for God? To know for sure you're one of His and He's taking you to glory? Or never to be sure? To think that this cause, this whole business might fail. It's obvious. The joy of the Lord is our strength, not our weakness. So what about you? Are you sure you're one of God's elect? Are you making your calling and election sure? I urge you, don't just assume you're one of God's elect. By doing this, so many deceive themselves and end up in hell. They never test it. They never ask themselves a question. Do I have faith? Do I have the fruits of faith? Do I have the marks of one of God's? They never even bother with it. That's assumption, not assurance. But to make your calling and election sure is to study the Bible, to ask God to cause your faith to grow, and to ask the Holy Spirit to make you totally sure that you're one of God's elect so you can serve Him joyfully and confidently all the days of your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit, who helps us discern and become sure of our election in Christ. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will work mightily in our lives so that we can become confident with a biblical and godly confidence. And being confident, we may serve you happily all the days of our lives. Take away presumption and assumption. Give us assurance instead. Father, if anybody is living in uncertainty or has even concluded there's no way I can be one of God's elect, show that person today that you're willing to receive him or her. You will not turn away anybody that comes to you, no matter how unworthy. Hear us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.